Welcome, everyone, to the One More Game podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Jeremy Culver, a.k.a. Darcy, and with me is the California Thirst Quencher, Pete Leija. Pete, how you doing, man?
I was trying to quench my thirst last week, man, the reason why I wasn't here. Thank you to Sharif for hard-carrying my ass. Our AC unit went down, and they were working on it all the way through until, like, Saturday. So we were, I was AWOL, as it were, for the episode. Like I said, thankfully that Sharif was able to come in through the clutch, help us out a little bit. Honestly, I'm wondering if I should just like not be around more often, because we learn more stuff about you when I'm not here. Than like now I'm learning that you're a beatboxer and heck, all this other stuff. Or, like I didn't know any of this shit, and apparently you're just like, oh, when you know Pete's not on, I'm just gonna share all this information. Maybe he won't listen, but I did, jerk.
Well, maybe you should ask more questions about me. Maybe in the years of us living together, you should have been like, you know what I should do? Find out about that guy.
Jeremy, you know me. You know I don't care about anybody else but myself.
It's very true. It's very true. We were just having a conversation off camera about it, and you calling people mid-carters, and I'm like, it's just wrong, Pete. And you're like, yeah, well, whatever.
B plus talent. He's a B plus player.
Well, I'm glad that your AC is fixed and you are obviously here and doing well for that. I do have to ask, because of course you live in California, so I, you know, can't just look at my temperature gauge and was like, oh, like this is what Pete's suffering through. How rough was it during the AC time? Like the weather that was going on in California, was it, did Mother Nature give you a little bit of a reprieve, or was it was like, haha, turn up the heat?
Well, if your cell phone is like mine, you can just find any temperature anywhere on the planet.
Yeah, but am so, I gonna am I gonna purposely look up California? No.
That's fair. So I was actually moderately fortunate for the most part, because I had to go into work, which does have AC. And unlike the Midwest weather, specifically Illinois, for which is the most of the Midwest that I had lived in for most of my life. You know how in Illinois, I'm not sure this is how it is in Wisconsin. I assume parts of Wisconsin are kind of like this. How it can still be like 85 and muggy and balmy at like 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock at night some yes. nights, and it's just disgusting. Well, here, at least where I live in LA, so LA has like a bunch of different, like, I guess you'd call them microclimates. You have the mountains, you have a desert, you have the valley, you have the coast. So like when you look at, go on the weather.com and they say, oh, LA is like 76 today, it's like, yeah, on the coast and not like the other 70% of LA that exists. So like it would be like 90, low 90s, mid 90s during the day. But because we live in the I live in the valley, it's more like a desert at night, kind of. So it drops to like the mid 70s. So thankfully sleeping temperatures were like temperate enough to like, it wasn't like super uncomfortable for the most part in that case. I did feel bad for my roommates, though, since they had to deal with it for the most part. Thankfully, we were able to get the AC fixed just in time for the temperature during the day to drop below 90 degrees, because that's how life works. But, of course, you know, I mean, it is still summer. It is still Southern California. So, I mean, there's going to be more hot days anyway. So, you know.
Yeah. Well, again, glad that it's all working and glad that you're here with us, because, of course, we have quite a bit of things to talk about here today. And I'm ready to talk about it. So let's get into the show here. So, everybody, welcome to the One More Game podcast. This is a podcast that is centered around making sure you're informed about all the video game news happening around the world, whether it is Xbox, Nintendo, PlayStation, or PC. If there's news that you need to know about, we'll make sure that you know about it. When you're listening to this on your podcast service, make sure you hit the subscribe button or the follow button, depending on what your service offers. And if your podcast service allows reviews, please leave a 5-star review and tell everyone why you love the One More Game podcast, because we really enjoy bringing this to you each and every Friday. If you'd like to be part of the show by asking a question or suggesting a topic for discussion, head on over to pressstartnews.net/onemoregame and fill out the submission form, and your submission could be used on the next episode. Or you could drop it off in the live chat while we're here streaming over here on youtube.com/pressstart28, and we will reference it as it comes up. But If this is your first time to the podcast, welcome to the podcast. I hope you enjoy your listen, and I hope you enjoy your stay. If you are returning, you already know what it is. We start off every single podcast talking about what we've been playing lately. So, Pete, what have you been playing lately?
Well, I had had 2 weeks of a little bit of a gap to play some stuff, and you'd be probably surprised to know that I didn't play a whole hell of a lot, honestly. But because I wanted to learn about pain, I started playing Hearthstone. I hate myself. Then I wanted to learn about love, so I started playing Hades, which is a great game. And if you haven't played it and you have access to it, such as through the Xbox Game Pass, you should absolutely give that game a try. It is fantastic. And then I tried a new one, which the one I kind of wanted to talk about the most was Escape Academy, which taught me patience, because it is a puzzle game and you want to basically the game starts out, you're going into like a job interview, and you find out that actually the interview is for Escape Academy, the namesake of the game, where you're have to basically, it's a video game version of an escape room, and you have to solve puzzles to get through the room. And once you complete the first escape room, essentially, then you get inducted into the Escape Academy, and then you go through the academy itself. You have a bunch of different quizzes and classes, they call them, where essentially that's more escape rooms. They say that the people that learn from Escape Academy in the video game verse can become anywhere from like hackers to thieves to like spies and stuff like that. And so if you're really into like a puzzle game, you're looking for something different in a puzzle game, this one is on Xbox Game Pass, and it is a pretty interesting. I had a lot of fun. I didn't play a whole lot of it, but I played probably like three and a half hours, but I had a lot of fun. It was something different. It made my head do something other than just be a hat rack and a rack for my hair. So that was kind of nice and made me think about it, which is part of the reason why I went back to Hearthstone. I wanted to play more card games and do more thinking. But this is more fun and engaging than the Hearthstone was. Whereas as fun and engaging Hearthstone is, I don't want to say that it isn't. It also gets frustrating. So if you're looking for a puzzle game, looking for a first single-player puzzle game, I highly recommend giving Escape Academy a try. It was really fun. I enjoyed it.
Will you go back to it?
Yeah, I think so. It feels more like a game where I'm just like, oh, I'll play for a little while, and then I'll like put it down, and then I'm like, oh, I want to try to go like more of a puzzle, do some more puzzles and stuff. I'm a fan of Sudokus and stuff like that. So like, you know, every once in a while, I'm just like, oh, I want to play some Sudokus for a while, and that feels like kind of like what this game will be. So like one of the puzzles that I was working on was it was color oriented and paint oriented for like their version of art class. Like the basically you walk into the class and the professor's like, oh, I was supposed to teach you stuff today, but I just decided to hide my paints in my office and lock the door, and you have to figure out how to unlock it. It's like, okay, well, sure. And all these puzzles basically have a time limit. The art one in particular is 30 minutes. The induction one, I think only the first part has a time limit of like, I think 10 minutes. And then like the first, once you're in the academy proper, the first puzzle there is like 15 minutes. So it progressively gets, the puzzles get more difficult, but they give you a time limit to figure it out. Mm-hmm. I haven't actually let the time run out, so I don't know what happens if like there's just a game over and you have to restart or something like that. You die. Well, the 15 minute one, they said that there was like a memory wiping gas that was leaking into the room, which I don't know what kind of phlebotonium they made up for that, but was kind of interesting. So I was actually wondering, I was like, I kind of want to see what happens if I don't complete the puzzle.
Yeah,
I didn't end up doing that though. So
I'd probably
maybe I'll do that next time. Yeah, maybe I'll go back and do that next time.
Yeah, but that's cool. I've heard some good things about Escape Academy. It's had my it's caught my interest, but of course with everything that I'm playing, backlog, and then of course on top of it, as we talked about last week's episode with Sharif, that I'm getting in the process of moving, so like I've just been a whirlwind of experiences, so I'm like, at some point I'll probably go play Escape Academy, but it is definitely not on my priority list from there. But for myself, you'll be surprised because it's been 2 weeks since I talked with you, but also 1 week since the last episode, that you would think I got to play a bunch of games, but I didn't. I got to play about the same thing that I played before. I played a little bit more of Fire Emblem Warriors Three Hopes. Funny enough, I actually bought it now, so now I am the proud owner of it. I don't just rent it like I was before. Ooh. But I want to say this just because, more so for a joke, but I got to play a new RPG that I bought called Dusk Diver for a grand total of 10 minutes. And then I had to turn it off because I was in the process of doing some other things. Obviously, the house hunting has taken a big precedence over everything else, which I will update people. My wife and I, we did find a house, so congratulations to us. But we are still now doing, like, I guess, like, the way to simplify it is, like, we're doing, like, the negotiating part of the house, but, like, the deal has already been signed and accepted. There's just, like, little nuances that we have to get figured out.
Dot the I's and cross the T's.
Yeah, exactly. So we have the house, but we just got to get these other little minor things squared away. But going back to Fire Emblem Three Hopes, Fire Emblem Warriors Three Hopes, I should say, even though I haven't gotten too much further into it, I continue to really like the game. I've gotten to the point essentially where in, like, Fire Emblem Three Houses, the game that, of course, it's based on, I've gotten to kind of the point where now almost all of the little mechanics that are present to develop the characters are there. And so now it's just kind of like doing the story and beating those components of the game. I find it really interesting, though. So if those that have never played a Fire Emblem game, and I think we've talked before, Pete, I don't think you've ever played a Fire Emblem game, if I remember correctly. So with Fire Emblem, there's one very, I guess, important component to the game that most people that play the game understand, but those that haven't played it probably won't. But there's two modes that were introduced in recent games. But there is classic mode, and then there is, I think they always call it, like, casual mode or something. But in classic mode, in all the Fire Emblem games before classic mode was introduced, and then when classic mode was introduced, henceforth, if a character dies in combat, that's it. That character is dead, and they're gone, and any of their story or dialogue that would have been there in the game is no more. So you, like, have to pay attention and be mindful of your soldiers in combat to avoid that. Or, of course, you can just refresh a save, as some people do, right? Well, in Fire Emblem Warriors Three Hopes, you can do the same. You can have a classic mode and a casual mode. And in the classic mode, again, if a warrior dies, then they're done. Then that's, the end for them. But I found it interesting that in this one mission in particular, the enemy that I was facing, there was right before the match or the battle, you can have strategies on how you want to, some extra things to tackle the map. And one of them was, for these two characters in particular, they were to recruit them on the map. And I chose to recruit one, and I didn't choose to recruit the other one. And then I just chose, like, two other little strategies. And I found it interesting that in the game, the same thing happened. When I killed the enemy character, they were dead and, like, they were done. And so I can't recruit that character anymore. So I found that interesting piece, because in most Dynasty Warriors games, as you know, Pete, from, I think we've talked about it before, you've played some of them, that, like, when you defeat an enemy, they always retreat or you capture them. But in this, it was like, nope, they're dead. And I found that really interesting because I was a little shocked that they died, and I was like, oh, I can't recruit them now. That kind of sucks. I should have recruited them. But
yeah, well, I mean, a cold-blooded murderer like yourself would find that interesting.
I did.
That is odd, though, yeah.
As I slayed them on the ground, I was like, are you really going to die off this?
And yeah, because I most of the Dynasty Warriors games that I played are like the Gundam games, and it's kind of the same thing. When you beat up their Gundam, and all of a sudden, like, yeah, you take over their region, and then they retreat because, you know, they just have the Gundam. It's like, ah, you couldn't defeat, you defeated me, but I'll be back, you monster. And a lot of times it's almost like you beat them and they end up becoming part of your team at that point. So,
yep.
Yeah, it is kind of weird that that's not how this particular one works, apparently.
Yeah, so. It caught me off guard because, like, I mm-hmm. figured the classic mode would mean, like, for sure my characters die if they die. Like, that's just how it is. Yeah. But I didn't expect that it was also going to be that way for the enemy. So when that character died, I was like, oh, dang it. I should have chosen to recruit them. If I would have known, I would have chosen to recruit them. But
refresh that save.
Yeah. Well, I already saved over it, so they're dead.
Rip that character. Bye-bye. Rip that character.
Yep, bye-bye. Exactly. But yeah, so I'm still having fun with it. I still recommend it. And last I knew, I'll probably try to drop a link in the show notes, but last I knew, Fire Emblem Warriors Three Hopes was on sale on Amazon for $10 off. I think it's like $50 now. Okay. So totally recommend it. And there's a lot of content because, again, it takes it like Fire Emblem Three Houses, where you can play as each house. So technically speaking, you have replayability of up to three times in one single playthrough. So it's a lot of fun. But we're moving on from that. We're going to be talking about our games catalog now because we have quite the list here. We have Sony warning of a weaker PlayStation business. Grand Theft Auto 6 news coming out. EA is working on a new Marvel game. And the Nier Automata mystery has been solved. For those who haven't been following it are probably like, what are you talking about? Well, I'm going to fill you up on that here in a little bit. But we're going to our main title here. And it's the main one that we're talking about. And it is, again, Sony warns of a weaker PlayStation business as game sales wobbles. We're going to The Verge here, written by Tom Warren, and it goes as follows. Sony has cut its annual profit outlook, warning of weaker PlayStation game sales. The forecast comes as Sony revealed it shipped 2.4 million PlayStation 5 consoles in the recent quarter, up only 4% from the 2.3 million shipped during the same period last year. And PS5 lifetime shipments have now reached 21.7 million. While hardware sales are slightly up year over year, software sales have plummeted 26%. In an investor call, Sony blamed the game slump on a lack of big PlayStation titles this year compared to 2021, and less time spent playing games in general, backed up by monthly active PlayStation Network users dropping 3% to 102 million overall. Sony released its exclusive Gran Turismo 7 and Horizon Forbidden West earlier this year, but Elden Ring arrived at the same time across multiple platforms and stole the limelight. Reuters reports that Sony has now revised its annual profit forecast down 16% for its gaming business as it anticipates another fall in game sales next quarter alongside costs associated with its recent $3.7 billion Bungie acquisition. Sony's PlayStation game sales are the latest sign that the gaming industry is slowing down after a big boost during the initial stages of the pandemic. Microsoft, which doesn't reveal its own Xbox hardware shipment, but the company saw Xbox hardware revenue dip 11% in its recent quarter, alongside a 6% drop in Xbox content and services revenue and a 7% decline in overall gaming revenue. While Microsoft has a strong fiscal year for Xbox revenue, the company is also warning that gaming revenue and Xbox content and services revenue will both decline next quarter. There, of course, is more details here in this article, but Pete, I'm going to kick it over to you. So, do you feel that the gaming industry is on a downward trend? As per se as some of the rhetoric in this article?
So I think there are several factors saying that the gaming industry is slowing down, as the article says. Sony can point to the fact that they've only had a couple of big titles drop this year, one of which was Elden Ring, which wasn't just Sony specific. They had Horizon Forbidden West, Gran Turismo 7. Gran Turismo 7 also, while it was critically acclaimed, was not exactly received well by the audience for at least the first month. That might have changed by now since they made a lot of updates since then, but I mean, like, they had the down to the, like, the, what was it, the 30 hour downtime where when they tried one of their updates, like, you couldn't play the game. They had issues with their they've had issues with monetization, their microtransaction stuff that has been a plague among video games for years now. But if that's one of the things you're going to point at, they don't really have many other big games coming up like much of the rest of the year. I mean, the article lists later, they have God of War Ragnarok, which is set to launch on November 9th, and The Last of Us Part 1 remake on September 2nd, but that's a remake, so I mean, like, that's, you know, who knows if that's going to be, like, a lot of people are like, oh, I'm going to jump on that because, you know, I'm going to play that game again. I mean, there's going to be a lot of people because The Last of Us is a very popular title. A lot of people are going to jump on that, but, you know, not everybody's going to just be like, hey, I'm going to buy a new version of this. Let's go play the other version that they already own. So, I mean, if that's your point, that's the thing you're pointing at, you know, that's, I don't know if that's necessarily going to rectify the rest of this year. Also, the article mentions that, you know, just less game time spent playing games in general. This is the first year, basically, since 2019, that this is the first summer that people are like able to go out and do stuff relatively admitted everywhere. I don't know if I want to say safely, because there, you know, we still have COVID going around, still have a pandemic going, but I mean, most everything is opened up. 2020, obviously it wasn't. 2021, it was still kind of touch and go for a lot of the year. This is the first summer since 2019. At my job, we run surfing events, and they've gone to a lot of these locations, and this is the first time we've been here in 3 years. And it's just like, it may or may not seem like it's been that long. It may seem like it's been longer, but, like, you know, that's 3 years that, like, you haven't been able to do a lot of this stuff. Not to mention gas prices have risen a bunch. They're starting to taper off a little bit. Inflation's rising a lot, just as a catching up from the fact it hasn't risen in a long time. You know, there's a lot of that stuff going on. There's probably not much cash on hand to be going around giving out to buying some of these games, along with the time not being spent to be able to do some of this stuff. And also, like, one of the things that caught my eye in reading this article was the Sony previously forecast 18 million PlayStation 5 shipments for its 2022 fiscal year. And it has not yet revised those estimates, even though, you, as you mentioned, reading it, they only did a few hundred thousand more than they released last year, which means that if they're going to meet that 18 million, they got to basically double their shipments per quarter for the rest of the fiscal year. So I don't know if they're going to reach that number either. That's another thing that's interesting is, like, well, if they're not buying games, that probably means they're not buying the game system, which, you know, so what are you going to do about all that? I mean, you just dropped almost $4 billion on Bungie, you know? So, I mean, they might be taking a little bit of a hit this year, but, you know, they're also a billion-dollar corporation, so how big is that hit really going to be a negative effect? It'll be a negative effect probably on the workers, because they're probably going to pitch a lot of people to the side if they think that they're not doing enough for their stockholders and their, you know, CEOs or CEO and all that stuff, and they can't get their bonuses, so they might cut a lot of people. So that's some garbage, but, you know, that's how these businesses try to make their money back. So,
yeah, I want to say, kind of as you kind of detailed, the biggest factor definitely is things are more opened up now this summer than they were in previous years. And a lot of people are taking the opportunities to go travel and do visits, whether that's warranted or not, right? So this is definitely a time where people are still, you have some people who are still very concerned about COVID and its impacts and what it brings. And then you have some people who feel, because they're very, you know, they're vaccinated and all this stuff, that they feel more ready and, I guess, willing to go try to do some of those things. So, of course, there's going to be a dip. Gaming in the pandemic was never going to just continue to stay at that height and at the very least not go up, you know. So at some point that was going to dip. I think of course the one important thing to remember for both Sony and Xbox is, while things are getting better with the pandemic, hardware shipments are still tough. I mean, they're still not, you know, everywhere and readily available. PlayStation 5 continues to still be an item that is hard to get by. Yes, it is more available than it was, of course, at the height of the pandemic, but it is still just, it's not readily available for everyone. Xbox Series is a little bit easier to find, but that one is still harder to grab. So, of course, those sales were going to, you know, be down. But I think it's important to realize, I guess, through all of this is that with gaming obviously is going to go up and down depending on the year, depending on what games are released, as you said, you know, talking about the what's been released this year alone. And that's just the natural ebb and flow of business, right? Now, the forecast for Sony not re-looking at that 18 million makes me wonder does PlayStation or Sony expect to still ship out that much, like that they have plans in place to ramp up production and get that number of units out the door. But it's still weird that they haven't adjusted it because of where things are going and how things are looking to this point. I don't think, of course, that this article is trying to say that gaming sales or the gaming industry is on a decline, because, of course, gaming is, you know, a very profitable market medium. You know, again, like movies, gaming is right there and makes a ton of money. But of course, every year is going to be a little change. And I do think, though, once you get to the later part of this year, there is going to be a boom in a sense, because again, at this moment, Microsoft doesn't have too many things coming out this fall. But Sony, at the very least, has God of War Ragnarok, one of the most anticipated games in recent years. Obviously, Horizon Forbidden West is another one, right? But God of War Ragnarok has been highly publicized, highly anticipated. Hell, even Phil Spencer of Xbox said his most anticipated game of this year is God of War Ragnarok. And I mean, like, you know, Phil Spencer does say how it is at times, but like, when you have your technically direct competitor saying your game is my most anticipated game of the year, that says a lot. So I assume that coming around November 9th, we'll see a bigger increase in production and stuff. And again, you're going to have up and down years, so I wouldn't sweat what's going on with this. But of course, it is interesting to point out and look at. But I guess the one thing that I am interested in getting your opinion about, Pete, is, of course, active monthly users of PlayStation Plus are down. As it said here, it's down 3% to 102 million. But last month, or basically in a month and a half ago now, they just relaunched the PS Plus tiers, trying to get more people in there. And it has here, right? PlayStation Plus subscribers are currently at 47.3 million, up from the 46.3 million at the same point last year, but down 48 million in fiscal year of quarter three, 2021. And again, the monthly active users reached 102 million, which is down from 105 million year over year. My question off of that is, in your opinion, do you feel like the relaunch has been successful off of those numbers?
I would say it's been successful. I don't know what Sony's opinion would be, but I would say it's been successful. I mean, you're better than a million better than subscribers better than you were at this point last year. And that probably, you got to take it a little bit of into account of like how many people just had the tier on their like card, like, you know, some people, like, one of the reasons why these companies like Netflix, these subscription based companies like Netflix and Hulu, they're just like, oh, we'll give you a month free, but you got to give us your credit card, is because they're hoping for, like, you know, 1 or 2 months it doesn't cross your mind that this is still on there. So even if you're not using it, you know, you'll still pay them 10 or 20 bucks or whatever it is for the month or whatever. And how many of those people actually, like, they lost because of that? And like, maybe they had like a free trial last year for PlayStation and they dropped off of that. And I mean, like, you're still holding pretty steady. Like, yes, you're down from third quarter 2021, but I mean, like, third quarter of 2021, you know, if I recall correctly, the pandemic was ramping up a little bit. It's also starting to get colder at that point. Because their third quarter of their fiscal 2021 would have been, you know, the winter months at that point. Because the way their fiscal year starts in April from earlier episodes. Mm-hmm. So their fiscal year isn't like July, August, September. It is October, November, December. So, I mean, you know, I'm assuming that those subscribers will start coming back once school starts, once they can't go outside anymore. The days are shorter. Most of the country is, you know, it's going to be colder. You're not going to want to go outside anyway. So I would say it's been moderately successful, especially a year ago this time. They're still a million stronger than they were.
Yeah, I also wonder how many of that million per se were people who were, you know, solely subscribed to PS Now, and when it got rolled over into PlayStation Plus, of course, are now in the PlayStation Plus program. So I'm a little curious on that aspect, but of course, they're not going to show that numbers right away, but right. Anyway, we're going to go to our next article. This is coming from IGN, written by Joe Screbbles, and it is GTA 6 will reportedly feature a first female playable character and add new cities over time. And it goes as follows. Grand Theft Auto 6 will reportedly feature a female playable character in its campaign for the first time. Rockstar apparently plans to launch the game with a single city, but add more locations as over time through updates. As part of the report on Rockstar by Bloomberg, sources close to the studio discussed the new female character, who will be Latina. The character will reportedly be a part of a pair of bank robbers in a story influenced by real-life criminals Bonnie and Clyde. Female protagonists have previously only been available as custom characters in GTA Online, never in the game's single-player campaigns. Rockstar co-founder Dan Houser, who has since left the company, previously indicated the company was thinking about a female lead as far back as 2013. Now, there was an update to this that said the first Grand Theft Auto game featured female playable characters. This would mark the first in the 3D GTA series of being able to play as a female character. The report also indicates that the launch version of GTA 6 will begin with fictionalized Miami and surrounding areas, presumably a return to Vice City, while we will be updated with, quote, new missions and cities on a regular basis. That launch version report apparently already includes more interior locations than any GTA game previously. Per the report, the game is codenamed Project America due to its original plan to include huge territories based on North and South America, but the plan was scrapped in part to reduce crunch for employees. And sources say that the developers on the game are skeptical about predictions for a launch between April 2023 and March 2024 due to multiple changes on the team and bottlenecks in production. Some developers are even said to have quit due to a lack of progress on the game recently. Developers on the team reportedly expect the game to be at least 2 years away and say that no firm release date has been set internally. So there, of course, is more to this article, but I'm going to then pass it along to you. So, Pete, what is your thoughts about these changes, or at least this reported news around GTA 6's characters and story setting?
Well, we talk about on the podcast a lot about representation in gaming, and you know, having a Latina character, female character as one of the leads is good. It's great. You know, get more of that. More representation is good. More representation is necessary. The interesting thing to me is they're talking about a story influenced by real life criminals Bonnie and Clyde. That interests me as a person who kind of like. I was when I worked at Discovery Channel, I was sort of forced to watch a lot of Wild West stories about like Wild Bill and Bonnie and Clyde and Cassidy and the Sundance Kid and all that stuff. A lot of that was really interesting parts of history called the Wild West at that point. So I'm interested in what kind of influence on Bonnie and Clyde they could have. Is it just the fact that it's a male and female character that you can pick up? If there are actually references to that? Those two. So that part is really interesting to me. The fact that it's seems like such a wild and wide game that they are creating. The Project Americas, like you said, while reading the article, was a reference to the fact that they had so many plots of ideas of like just using so many different areas on both North and South America. So that part's really cool. The one thing that kind of jumped out at me reading the article, you touched on it, that some developers said to quit due to a lack of progress in the game recently. I would be a little bit more concerned about that. But we also just had an article a couple episodes ago, maybe 3 weeks ago at this point, where we talked about how Rockstar said that they're not going to do a Red Dead Redemption and GTA 4 remasters anytime soon, they moved a lot of those developers over. So I wonder if that was in response, either the people quitting was in response to that, or the lack of progress was in response to that, or the fact that they left. You know, they're like, all right, well, then we're not going to do the remaster. So I wonder if any of that was involved, you know, with each other at that point. The thing that, the one last thing I want to touch on, was that, the fact that it's like, at least it seems like there's not even an internal release date as of yet. And it's probably at least 2 years away, if not more. But the interesting thing to me was that, even despite all that, the official news will apparently only be released when Rockstar is ready, not when its owner Take-Two requests it. And I wonder how long that's going to last, because as we just talked about, you know, the billionaire companies want to make money and they love making money. And so at some point I would hope that Take-Two is like, no, we want to do this right. But they might be like, hey, we want to do it right, but we also want to do it fast and we want to get it out the door because we want to make that money. So I'm interested to see if that will hold, if like we come around to the middle of the fiscal year 2023, or maybe they call it fiscal year, either way, the April 2023 to March 2024, if there's no like official word in the middle of that, if Take-Two's like, hey, buddy, what's up? What you got going on over here, Rockstar? Let's get it going. So that's one thing that I'm kind of just like, all right, I'm interested about that.
I could see what you're saying, but I will say, and I don't say this about a lot of other studios, but I do say that Take-Two has always, I guess, played the news around Rockstar Games very well in the past, like basically doing, as I had said in that, you know, prior episode about how like Rockstar only seems to reveal games like shortly before they actually are about to release. There's only one game in all that I can think of with Rockstar that they revealed a game that was so far apart that it was way too early, and that game ended up being canceled. And I think I remember now the game was called Agent, but at that episode I couldn't remember what the name of it was. So, like, right. I could see Rockstar getting that we only reveal it once we actually are ready type of approach. But, I mean, as you said, representation is obviously great. I, as a huge fan of Grand Theft Auto Vice City, love that we are going back to Miami for it. I wonder what the setting, like, year setting is going to be, because obviously Vice City, you know, takes place in the 80s. Is this another 80s approach to the game? Is this going to be a modern approach to the game like Grand Theft Auto 5 was? You know, where do they take the year setting to place in here? But I do want to bring something up that, of course, I myself cannot, I guess, directly relate to, but I want to bring it up because I do think it was a great discussion point over on Kind of Funny's Kind of Funny Games Daily podcast. And of course, I've also seen it on social, but that's where I first saw it. Was Janet Garcia was on the episode where they brought up this article, and she talked about, you know, in her mind, though, while she, of course, likes the idea of being able to play as a female lead, and of course likes the fact that there is going to be, you know, more representation playing as a Latina lead character. What she really hopes doesn't happen is that there is the stereotypical like movie trope where the Latina character does Spanglish, you know, basically speaks in English and then randomly throws out a random, you know, Spanish word that, you know, the common person probably knows, but it feels jarring to her. And of course, I didn't think about it, you know, at the time when she brought it up, but I could see that being, you know, for people like Janet and herself, that like those things are jarring, but also feel slightly out of character. And I guess the term that she even used in her discussion was racist, right? So I'm hopeful that that's not going to happen, but I think that that was a good, interesting talking point, and I recommend you going to check out that discussion point over on the Kind of Funny Games podcast. But I wanted to bring that up in here because of that viewpoint from a person that I respect in her discussion points and stuff. But outside of that, back to the other factors of it, I'm curious, like you, where did the quitting come into play? Was it before the changes of dropping the other one? Was it after the changes? You know, have they quit because of those changes, or is it because of things were not moving at the speed that it wants to? I'm really curious on that aspect. So we'll see how things go moving forward. But another game that is in development that we are going to be looking at is EA and a new Marvel game. This is coming from Games Beat. It is written by Mike Minotti, and it is reported EA is working on a Black Panther game, and it goes as follows. Electronic Arts is getting into the superhero game with a new title based on the Black Panther, according to a report from Giant Bomb member and former Games Beat staffer Jeff Grubb on his daily news show Game Best Mornings. According to Grubb, the title is early in development and is a single-player affair. A new Seattle studio founder by former Monolith Productions VP and studio head Kevin Stevens is likely working on the project. Starting with the death of one Black Panther, players take on a character that is becoming the newest incarnation of the Wakanda hero. We have reached out to EA for comment and will update the story if Games Beat gets a reply. Although Black Panther has shown up as a playable character in other Marvel team-up and crossover games like Square Enix's The Avengers and Nintendo's Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, he hasn't yet starred in his own major solo title. So Pete, where's your excitement level for a Black Panther EA game?
At an 8, I haven't actually seen Black Panther. I need to go watch it. That's one of the ones I'm actually like really looking forward to actually watching. The Marvel movies, there's so many of them now. I'm going to be honest with you, I'm never going to watch all of them. That is one of the ones I actually want to go back and actually view. It's really cool. Like a lot of hopefully they can hold the standard up to the Black Panther. It was a very highly regarded Marvel movie, one of the more popular ones that was released. And Black Panther is a very popular character, Rip Chadwick Boseman. One of the things that was interesting to me is that they're kind of like, it seems like they're following the storyline of the movie, because I believe the new movie now is presumably they're going to have to replace the Black Panther for obvious reasons. It seems like they're going across from that instead of just having like the Black Panther character itself, like you were taking on the mantle of the Black Panther character, it sounds like. So it's kind of interesting from that regard that they're going that route instead of just making like, hey, we're just going to make this Black Panther another superhero game and base it on that and just like an action title. So I'm wondering, I'm curious as to where they plan to go with the storyline on that, if it's just going to be like the token copy the movie game that we see released from time to time for a lot of these, or if like they're going to go off on their own story as well. That part's probably the one that's, I'm just like, you know, kind of like sticks in my craw, as it were, because you would think you would just like play the regular like Black Panther at that point.
Yeah, I'm going to say that I have high expectations for this game, or high hopes, I guess I should say. I know it's not Respawn making it, but Jedi Fallen Order and how it was received makes me optimistic that this game can also be really well done. And it also makes me think that it's not going to be that generic movie tie-in movie video game that we've seen, of course, in years past, that this is going to be just, you know, pure coincidence, so to speak, that you're doing this as your character. But I wonder if this is their way of then allowing the player to create their character and use that as a character creation, is that you're taking over. So then you can, you know, you might have scenes where you are in Wakanda as your character out of your suit, and then also have, of course, the times and moments where you're in your suit throughout it. I don't know exactly. Of course, there's not a whole lot of details to go off of this just yet, but I will say, Pete, you do got to go check out Black Panther, because I have not watched nearly even half of the Marvel movies yet, and yet I won't, probably because I'm just not a huge movie watcher. But I saw Black Panther out for my birthday the year that it released, and absolutely loved it. And so I do highly recommend checking out that movie. But I do got to ask, on a spin-off question of this, if you could pick one Marvel character that hasn't had their own individualized game just yet, who would you choose to have a game to be designed around?
I mean, honestly, Black Panther would probably be the first one that would probably come to mind.
You can't choose Black Panther. I just read an article on it.
Yeah, we just read an article. I understand. Give me a second. I don't know if they have a game on this character yet, but I probably one of my more favorite characters in the Marvel universe due to the movies is probably Doctor Strange. I don't know how they go about that, but that'd probably be the one where I'm just kind of where I would like to see what they could do with that. But I don't know if they could even make like a really good game about that, since a lot of that is just like kind of like mysticism and stuff like that.
I think they could.
I don't know.
If you think about it, Doctor Strange and his powers, and I haven't seen the movie, but just using the character itself, like, that allows, I think, for a lot of creative expression that the video game could bring because of the alternate, you know, universe aspect that Doctor Strange brings to the table. Yeah. So I could.
I'm also mad that they I'm also mad that they made what they call it, they what was that game they released recently, and I'm so mad that I can't think of it right now. The buddies with Thor. No. The
Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, I'm mad that they released that, because that would probably be my number one pick at that point. But since I already did, I can't pick them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So Doctor Strange would probably be the next one. Thor would be a good one too, though, now that I think about it. But he probably has a game. I can't imagine he doesn't have a game yet.
I don't know if he has a game. To. We'll have
he has
to
so many movies. They didn't make a game off of one of the movies yet? No, I don't buy that.
I'd have to look it up. I don't know.
I'm going to look this up right now. You read the next article.
I'm going to actually kind of cheat on my answer, but it's just because like they are my favorite.
God of Thunder has a video game. It's not highly rated, but it does. God of Thunder has a video game. It's not highly rated, but he does have one.
Okay,
anyway, go ahead.
Okay. But I would choose either a game centered around solely on either Gambit or Nightcrawler, because I am a huge X-Men person, and those were my two favorites from.
I'll play the old X-Men game.
No,
both
I
there.
I want a story built around them, right? Like, that's what I want. You know?
Part of the X-Men, though, they'd probably just be an X-Men game. It wouldn't just be Gambit the game.
Wolverine has a game.
Wolverine is like transcends the X-Men.
But you just made my point right there. Wolverine has a game. Gambit and Nightcrawler can have one too. See,
you cannot compare Gambit and Nightcrawler
right
and Wolverine.
We're moving on to the next article.
Take that back.
We're moving on to the next article because I just compared them. Anyways, we're going to IGN for this next article. It is written by Joe Scrubbles again, and it is Nier Automata's huge internet mystery was a beautiful, impressive hoax. So this goes as follows. After days of intrigue, it's finally been revealed that the mysterious video of hitherto unknown areas in Nier Automata were the work of extremely talented modders. So, just to give a quick background, as this is going to also explain, but there has been for quite a while a discussion that's been going on Reddit, on the Nier Reddit subreddit, I should say. And it started with a guy saying, why can't my friend access the church? And everyone was like, what do you mean the church? Like, those that have played the game, like myself, who have nearly platinumed the game, are like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about, this church? And then he shows a screenshot of one of the characters in a church. And everyone's like, what the heck? What are you talking about? I've never seen that spot before. Show us video. And then weeks went by and he didn't show video. And then all of a sudden he popped up and he goes, hey, so I finally recorded video. And he recorded this video that basically shows bizarre content that includes references to others' games. And it showed him like opening in the battle this like door, then like jumps down a spot, like this long ladder, and then like runs in like this like tunnel and all this jazz. And then like Yeah, it's just basically you got to go check it out. I totally recommend it. But basically, it went through, posted this whole video, and it sent the internet, that, well, I should say the near subsection of the internet, on a frenzy, trying to figure out all these things, trying to access the door, not being able to do it, trying to figure out Yoko Taro, the creator of it, because he is all about cryptic stuff. Is this another Yoko Taro secret that no one knew about and all this jazz? Well, turns out it wasn't as impossible to mod Nier Automata as everyone thought, as with a Twitch stream, the team revealing that the entire saga was indeed the work of talented fans creating new content within the game. As you can see in the gallery below, the Twitch stream ended with an admission that all of this was created with mods by three individuals. Quote, "Thank you," read a text slide that aired at the end of the stream. "Everything we have shared has been completely in-game. No editing was used. We have been loving all of the discussions and theories. This has been an amazing journey. It has been inspiring to see the community come together after so many years. It has made all the hard work well worth it." While some, of course, were disappointed that this wasn't a meaning more official Nier content is coming soon, the fact that the team has been begin adding in-game content to Automata at all is huge news for the community. Many believe that this wasn't possible, but the modders have promised to release the new Blender add-ons and scripting tools on an open source basis, seemingly blowing the modding scene wide open for the first time. Now, this scene, of course, has been shows references to some other Yoko Taro games and in the Nier universe. But Pete, obviously there's more to this article, but I gotta ask you, because I don't know if you've even known about this, but what was your take when you were reading how this whole thing unfolded on the internet? Because I watched it unfold and I was like, my God, I need to go figure out this door.
I've seen some references to it online on Twitch or on Twitter specifically. I mean, I wasn't like that involved in it or that in tune with it, but it is pretty cool that this happened. It brought together kind of a community that, yeah, they had Reincarnation released in 2021. Yeah, they had the remaster of Nier Replicant, but they haven't had like an actual main game since Automata from was like 5 years ago, which I started playing and I think is fantastic. And just even the first part of the game playing it, I'm like even if like I decided I wasn't going to like this game or I didn't feel like I was going to like this game, I can already tell this game is really well crafted and well done. Like you can sense that from very early on in the game. But it's pretty cool that to like be able to generate such rampant interest. I did not know that like the game hadn't been modded at all or messed with at all before this. It seemed like it couldn't be possible for the most part, which is interesting. It was really cool of Yoko Taro, the creator, because I guess people were asking him, according to the article, and he didn't like be like, yeah, that wasn't us. What are you talking about? He's kind of like, oh, what do you know? I don't know. Who knows? You know, he was kind of like playing along.
Yeah,
it was really cool of him to kind of like just play along with the mystery instead of just like ruining the whole thing right off the top. So that was really really awesome of him to do that. I mean, this game, it didn't really harm anybody. If anything, it strengthens, like, you can point and be like, hey, look at how popular Nier still is. Look at how popular how rampant the fan base is. You can easily sell another one of these games that they're, like, just, like, added content or modified content for, like, a game that we released 5 years ago. Like, maybe we should start making another one. And maybe it'll generate enough interest and intrigue, and maybe they'll just go back and be like, hey, you know what? Yeah. We know this game's popular. We know the fans are really tied to it and they really enjoy the series. So like, hey, let's make another one of these. We get another classic game, another great game to be made. It'll be really fun.
I hope that they make another one, man, because Nier Automata was so good. And it was correct one thing that you said. It wasn't that this game hasn't been modded. The modding community on Steam, of course, in most games that of course support modding, have, you know, done a lot of great things. But typically what modding does, right, is like maybe it creates like a new skin for your character, or it changes some like weapon stuff, or like maybe they can add like some dialogue and things. But like, this was the first time, which is what people were like really getting into, is that it created a whole new level to the game, Like, it was creating pieces in the game that reacted off of the player, which is why people were like, okay, this isn't a simple modding, because like modding hasn't gotten to this point yet, or like at least hasn't in nearer at this point. So it was like, it, like I said, it spawned this whole thing. And I even retweeted the original video when it first came out and said, oh my God, I need to play this now to find this door. Like, I was like, I gotta find this door.
I remember seeing that
and experience this. So like, it's crazy, but it's awesome. And I do, of course, yeah, Yoko Taro not revealing it is like perfect Yoko Taro character, because that's exactly what he does. He's super cryptic. And I loved like his thing. He tweeted out in English, which he doesn't tweet out in English, obviously, very often, but he tweeted, what do I think of this game? Check out my profile. And in his profile, it said, I cannot comment on anything about the game. Go ask the publisher. Like, that's what he put. And so I loved, like, it just created this more intrigue to the world. But yeah, it's an awesome little bit, even if, like, for those that don't play Nier Automata, I totally recommend checking out, because the video itself is just actually just really cool to see, obviously, that what these three people were able to add to the game. And of course, thus ends the Church Saga mystery. So, all right, so we're gonna go to our last article here, and it is written by Polygon, written by Michael McWhorter, and it is Square Enix Tactics Ogre remake leaks again, and it is coming this November. So Square Enix still unannounced remake of the classic RPG Tactics Ogre Let Us Cling Together is coming to PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5 on November 11th, according to leaked details from Sony's PlayStation Store. Those details, posted by PS Deals, include new screenshots of Tactics Ogre Reborn and a long list of improvements to the original game. Those improvements include new high-definition graphics, revamped enemy AI, fully voiced cutscenes, and music that's been re-recorded with live performances. Tactics Ogre Reborn also includes new quality-of-life features like quicker-paced battles, autosaves, and a complete overhaul to the controls and UI, according to the game's description. Now, Square Enix appears to have revised the class-wide level management system that was used in the 2010 remake of Tactics Ogre Let Us Cling Together for PlayStation Portable. Reborn has been updated to use a unit by unit level system. So of course there's some other things to go here, but it is important to note for those that maybe don't know, Tactics Ogre Let Us Cling Together, the PSP version, was originally released back in 1995 for the Super Famicom in Japan. And then it spawned some later games, had a port of course to PlayStation and Sega Saturn, and then was of course remade for the PSP. So Pete, I gotta ask you two parts to this. The first part, I know you're not a strategy RPG person, but this intrigue you enough to go check out this one? And two, what do you think about Square Enix letting this kind of leak yet again and still hasn't said anything?
I don't know if I'll try Tactics Ogre specifically. I'm actually kind of more interested in playing like the Fire Emblem game. I was hearing you talk about it the last couple of weeks, this week and last week specifically. Even if it just ends up being Three Hopes, the Dynasty Warriors version. But that seems to be something I'm kind of more interested in. But, I mean, if, like, it's available on, like, Game Pass or whenever I finally get my PlayStation 5 up and running, it's some lazy as crap. If it's available on, like, the PS Plus setup there, I'll give it a try there. I don't know if it would ever be, but... in response to your second part of your question, it's kind of funny how this game... it's still not officially announced, and we have so much more information on it that it feels like a lot of games that we that are actually formally announced.
Yes.
I have to assume at this point it's intentional, because otherwise why not just announce it? Why just like, oh, well, darn, everybody knows basically everything that's happening with this game now, so that's a shame. So I assume that this is probably intentional a leak as opposed to...
I gotta just say real quick, before you finish there, you know what this like kind of reminds me of right now? You know how they typically say like the thing of like, you know, don't say anything on it and people will forget about it or whatever. But this is like that you saw in like the kids movies growing up, right? Where like they bring home this like creature that's not supposed to be there, right? And it's really big, and they're like, let's throw a really small blanket over the top of it. You can still see its legs, but it'll be like, yeah, if you act like it's not there, no one will know that it's there.
The elephant in the room.
And I feel like Square Enix is doing the same thing. They're just like, act like it's not there, no one will know.
It's almost like a brilliant like push and like promotion of it, right? Because like people are like, oh, we got to find more information. And then it's like, ah, now it's going to be the NVIDIA leak. Oh man, it's part of one of the Square Enix games, and a bunch of other ones have already been announced. Now we know what's the date it's going to be released on, and what gaming system it's going to be on, and can we know this now? And it's like its own little promotion thing because of that, and it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
But the biggest reason, did you have anything else you wanted to comment before I continue?
I'm good.
All right. The biggest reason that this is big for me is because there's only one game. It's only one game on that NVIDIA list from Square Enix that has not been announced or leaked or any extra information on it. Do you know what that game is, Jeremy?
Well, technically there's two, but I know the one that you're talking about. Go ahead, say which one it is. Two?
I thought we confirmed that there was only one now.
Final Fantasy Tactics Remaster has still not been officially announced.
Oh, I thought that one was already notified.
No, that's the one that I'm
going to do. Now that ruins my whole thing. But what am I going to get my Final Fantasy IX? What am I going to get my Final Fantasy IX remake, Jeremy? When?
Well, I can't tell you when that's coming out. But I can tell you what's coming out this week if you want to end up spending your money on some new games. And it goes as follows. Madison for Switch. RimWorld Console Edition for PS4 and Xbox One. Digimon Survive for PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Xenoblade Chronicles 3 for Switch. Avenging Spirits for PS5, Xbox Series, PS4, Xbox One, Switch. And Story of Season, Pioneers of Olive Town, PS4. On Monday, August 1st, you have The Gallery for PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. And Retreat to Enon for PC. Tuesday, August 2nd, you have Frogan for PS5, Xbox Series, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. The Mortuary Assistant for PC. The demo is available right now for that. Azure Striker Gunvolt 3 for Xbox Series and Xbox One. Arrow Tales Online The World for PC. On Wednesday, August 3rd, you have South of the Circle for PS5, Xbox Series, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. On Thursday, August 4th, you have Turbo Golf Racing for Xbox Series, Xbox One, and PC, Hard West 2 for PC, Hindsight for Switch and PC, Cap Canyonwood for PC, Played Up for PC, Thunderbolt Collection for PS5, Xbox Series, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch, Void Crisis for PC, Love Money Rock and Roll for PC, there is a demo available on PC right now for that, Veneris Tactics for PC, Sword and Fairy Together Forever for PS5 and PS4, Webbed for Switch, Gale of Windoria for Xbox Series, Xbox One, and PC, and then Friday, August 5th, you have Gigabash for PS5, PS4, and PC. Pete, any of these catching your attention?
Actually, quite a few, honestly. I mean, you got the big name ones, Digimon Survive, Xenoblade Chronicles 3, but I'm going to go a little bit smaller. I think this one's semi-popular. Azure Striker Gunvolt 3 was one I was looking at. Turbo Golf Racing, which seems like watching the video was like a cross between like just golfing and Rocket League.
It
that
is.
One seemed like that could it is.
Yeah,
I didn't even know if it was like a what was it like a mini game that Rocket League had that was just super popular. They decided to make their own, or is it just like a completely different thing? Or
well, it's a totally different developer, so it's not just like Psyonix decided to make extend a mini game. But yeah, I mean, it controls very much like Rocket League. It does a lot of things like Rocket League, but I played it in it's hard. Let me just say that. It's hard.
It doesn't look easy, but it looks like it could be fun. The last one, and I have to say this almost because one of my cousins is she very much likes spiders, but Webbed, I don't know if it's a game I'm actually going to play, but it looked kind of funny and interesting the way all the bugs like interacted with the fly. And it's like, Predator. And there was like one shot where it was like on like a skateboard of some kind.
Yeah.
It was just like, and that part looked pretty cool. So those are like the three I'm looking at.
So I will, of course, just bring up the two that come out today as well. Of course, Digimon Survive and Xenoblade Chronicles 3. I have my copy coming for Xenoblade Chronicles 3, but it's not here just yet. Digimon Survive, I'm going to wait a little bit on it. But I did find it very interesting that either Bandai Namco did not produce enough copies of this, or retailers oversold, but the physical version of Digimon Survive for Switch is like basically MIA. And I have a couple of friends who have pre-ordered it, and like it still hasn't shipped. And if you go to Amazon, at least last I checked, it is unavailable. You cannot buy the Switch version, but you can buy the PS4 and the Xbox One version. So like, I'm just curious what's going on. I'm wondering what's going on there, because Bandai Namco and the Digimon Survive official like pages have said nothing about it. They're just like acting like everything is status quo, like, oh yeah, it's all good. But my friends are like, where the hell is our copy?
Not good.
Yeah, so there's that one. You already brought up Azure Strikers, so that of course is cool. Hard West 2, I was in the beta for it. That game is a lot of fun. Now of course, again, for you Pete, it is a tactical strategy RPG, but it is like really cool, like Wild West meets like supernatural type thing, and I really enjoyed the demo from or the beta when I played in it, so I'm not gonna pick it up right away, but that one I'm really keeping my eye on, because I had a ton of fun with that game. Sword and Fairy Together Forever, technically on PC this is called Sword and Fairy 7, but this one looks interesting. I know it's been kind of like a hit and miss, depending on what people say. And then funny enough, actually, Love, Money, Rock and Roll. I know it's like a visual novel, but there was something about it that just like kind of caught my attention. So I might download that demo and give it a little whirl and see what goes on.
I looked at Sword and Fairy and Love, Money, Rock and Roll too. Those were ones that are like, guys, were interesting. There was a lot of ones this week, it felt like. There was like 7 or 8 where I was just like, huh, that's, and that's not even including like Digimon Survive and Xenoblade, like, because those are like the main big ones on the list that will jump out at you. Like, there was like a bunch of other ones like, huh, okay, yeah, I could see myself playing that.
Yeah, exactly. I want to just say it. I don't think we've said it enough here on the podcast, so I'm going to just say it. I know for a lot of people, you always go for the AAA titles. That's very, like, usual. It's not out of the ordinary and stuff, very common. But check out some of these indie games. Indie games bring a lot of fun. Pete made mention of one. I know that it doesn't feel like an indie game anymore, but Hades obviously was an indie game, and you know, is a ton of fun and sold like buckets, right? There's a lot of great indie games out there, so give them a check every now and then. You might be surprised by how well you enjoy one of those indie games. But that is all that we have here for this podcast. Pete, is there anything you want to say to leave our listeners with before we head off into the weekend?
Stay cool and happy house hunting, buddy. Although you already got your house, but you know, finish crossing those T's and dotting them I's, you know.
We're in a sense for this part. We're on that final stretch. We just got to hit the finish line. And then we realize that there's actually a whole nother lap that we got to do. But right now, we're just trying to get across that finish line.
One hurdle at a time, God damn it.
Yeah, exactly. We'll get there. But thank you so much. And everybody, thank you so much for tuning in here to the One More Game podcast. I've been one of your co-hosts, Jeremy Culver, a.k.a. Darcy. This has been the California Thirst Quencher, Pete Legia, and we really enjoy bringing this to you. As always, everybody, stay hydrated, stay healthy, stay safe, and keep on gaming. We'll see you guys on the next episode.